Radio 118 WHAF proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of August, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasore.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. And yes, you heard we have a special guest here today, Dr. Tony Plasore, the man who knows just way more than is good for him about any sort of Linux, Unix stuff. He's a frightening man.
Thank you. Thank you. I work hard for that.
To be frightening?
Yes. This is my job description, as a matter of fact. Yeah. You know, a day is not complete unless you scare at least one user.
What? How'd you make out with that one guy that I sent you? I had a guy that wanted to, he's tired of Windows and everything else, wanted to build a new system and put Unix in.
Good for him.
And I says, well, and he had some questions. I says, well, the expert here, and I sent him on to Tony.
Yeah, we talked for about an hour, and, you know, and it's basically like anything else. Define what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you want to do, and here's the tools you need to do it. It was pretty straightforward. I mean, he's a basic home user. He doesn't, you know, he's not trying to run his business or anything like
that. But even if he was, you can still use Windows.
Right, you can still use not Windows. And, you know, basically what I suggested for him is, you know, don't jump in with both feet if you're really unsure. Get a second hard drive. Load it on a second hard drive. What do you need to do? I need to do email, word processing, and web browsing.
Yeah.
You know, right. Which is basically what 99%.
Well, you don't even need a second hard drive anymore. What's a hard drive cost? A couple $100.
Oh, God.
$300. You can get a whole new computer at Walmart running Windows.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But, you know, for that might.
And when it breaks, you throw it away and buy a new one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he had a decent system. For $49, you go down
you find your
local. See, and he's fine. He's absolutely going to be fine. He's got my email address and. You know, I told him my simple questions I'll answer. If I have to come down, it costs.
Yeah. Exactly how it works.
Right.
That's it, exactly. Right. All right, we're going to get to the news, and we're going to start with Dave, who's moving a little slow today.
Yeah. Man.
Well, the first day you look like an old man, I have to tell you, the way you've been walking.
God bless my wife. You know, I can't say enough.
And we've been saying that for years.
I know it. But, I mean, she's had to pick up the slack for me, because I literally pulled a muscle in my back. And she's even had to help. This is how old I feel. She's had to help me get my boots on.
Yeah, you can't bend over and do anything.
I can't do anything. I look at it. It's like I had a Q-tip. I'm sitting there getting cleaned up this morning. Q-tip. It falls on the floor. It's still on the floor. I ain't picking it up.
Well, what's so unusual about that?
Until you forget whether or not you're wearing boots.
There you go.
But, yeah, when I pulled my back out a few months ago, it was 2 weeks I couldn't move and a month before it was back healed.
Today is the first day I've been actually able to sit.
Yeah.
And not kind of up and down, moving around. Oh, it is painful. It's a bitch getting old.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I know. You're still younger than me. But your birthday's coming on.
Oh, it's okay.
Anyways, in the news.
Now, when's your birthday, Tony? We're all in September.
I'm in April.
Ooh. April what?
April 26th.
Okay.
We're going to write
that down. 1900.
Yeah, right. We don't care about the year.
All right.
Here's my list.
Well, anyways. Intel, just as you would suspect, folks, it's starting to, believe it or not, come into the holiday season. At least this is, I mean, you can already go into the store, in August and buy Halloween candy for the end of October. So
I hate it when they skip holidays.
It's unbelievable.
It's Halloween.
It kind of sickens me, because I liked it in the old days when, you know, Christmas didn't start until after the Macy's Day Parade.
Right.
You know, and Thanksgiving was always celebrated in November. You didn't start celebrating Halloween back in August. But anyways, the manufacturers of the chip makers are starting to gear up to start to unload some of the, and they're really, you know, I hate to use the term old, but they're really not old, Pentium 4 chips, because they're coming out with a whole new line. So, who wins in that category? You folks. When you're looking for a system with the holidays coming up, or right now we've been super busy, getting kids back to school or kids that are in need systems for school. I had one parent that was fit to be tied. The daughter didn't tell him until the night before.
Of course.
Dad, I got to have the computer upgraded to Windows XP Pro by the time we go on Friday. Here it's on Wednesday.
Yeah!
He's calling me, Dave, what can you do? Well, if you get it here, you know, Thursday morning, we'll turn it around and have it ready. And he was literally down and back to the shop Friday morning to pick it up. And guess what?
Didn't work.
Daughter had to write the check.
Uh-huh.
He goes, darn it. He says, you know, I would have worked with you on this, but when you pull this kind of stuff, and I was glad to see that. You know, here the kid had been home since May. He goes, nothing like waiting to the last minute.
Exactly.
So anyways, yeah, the chip makers are definitely starting to lower the prices to their suppliers, which in ultimatum, you know, best way
eventually
to say, it'll trickle down, hopefully, and
right.
It usually does because, you know, they're sitting there trying to buy for your buck because the economy has been kind of slackish in that aspect. Last year's sales were okay, but nothing to rave about, so they're really hoping to kick it up this winter season, and with the reducing of these chips and bringing out the newer ones, it's more horsepower than most folks need. The war on spam, just like the Olympics are geared up right now, and you're seeing a lot of that. They're expecting right now a reported a 50-fold increase in Olympic-related spam between January and July. So, of course, main spam filterers, folks like AOL and everything else, are really sticking to their guns, and they're really trying to get most of this reduced. And right now they've said they've seen on an average AOL user a 60% decrease in spam volume. I mean, back when I used to have AOL, you know, I just ignored the email because it was ridiculous.
Right.
But and now with the spam that used to come through AOL, they have literally gotten it down to 60%. Junk mail is literally, you know, being blocked totally.
Yeah.
But what if I want to refinance my mortgage and enlarge certain parts?
Well, then you go to their website and you look for it. I mean,
you know what? You got late night TV spam now. I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah, right. Later on, we're going to have, of course, the website of the week and get some news about a very interesting guest that I'm lining up to bring on the show later on.
Can't wait to hear about that later. But in the meantime, we'll go to Steve.
Yes, there was a new survey out this week by the American Consumer Satisfaction Index, which measures the attitudes of customers in many different categories.
Man, I don't know. I don't know why you need a survey to measure the attitude of customers. They'll give you their attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The industry it's across many different industries, and the industries are rated on a scale from 0 to 100. In 2004, the latest year for which we have data.
Exactly.
The PC industry as a whole posted a score of 74, which is 2.8% higher than last year. So it's the PC industry, more people are becoming more satisfied with the way they work. For specific companies, Apple and Gateway recorded the largest improvements over last year. Apple got an 81. Gateway got a 74. Dell got a 79. So above the big, the big three companies are getting high numbers. What was interesting is that HP was down quite a bit, and HP Compact sort of they're scoring separately now.
Oh yeah, they're going through such a reorganization that it's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Yeah, and Carly's got her axe out too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just introduced a whole bunch of new products this week,
including an HP iPod.
Including the HP iPod. One of the market analysts was saying that they expect HP to sell more than Apple will because HP's got a broader distribution base.
Right.
But we'll see how many Apple can make.
Right.
To fill
yeah, it's
demand.
Not a lot about how many they can sell because they're selling all they can make now.
Selling all they can make. Although Seagate just introduced a 1-inch drive with a 5-gig capacity. That's been one of the limiting factors on the iPod Mini is that Toshiba. Yeah, Hitachi's 1-inch hard drive. That with the 4-gig capacity is what the Mini's been using, and that's how they get the 1,000-song capacity on it. So now that there's a second vendor for such tiny hard drives, we may be able to see production increase quite a bit.
Well, Sony's coming out right now with a A memory stick.
Yeah, they're 2 memory gig memory stick.
2 gig memory stick.
Well, it's only $700.
Yeah, the only
yeah, but like anything else right now, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing
one
about...
1 gigs are only $350.
Yeah, the only trouble with memory sticks is if you do read-writes to those things on a consistent basis, you know, they become so much plastic.
Right.
They've got a limited number of reads and writes to them.
That was one of the early stories about the iPod Mini, which sells for $250, whereas the 4 gig... hard drive card in it, which is actually mounted in a CF card, is also used in high-end digital cameras. And that 4-gig memory card was running for like $500-$600. So there were a lot of stories about people buying minis and selling them and turning a profit.
Right, right. Just sell it, rip them apart, throw it, pull out the hard drive, sell that for more money.
Yeah.
Nice.
So now that but back then the minis were so hard to get, you had to wait so long, most people wouldn't want to do it.
You're right.
So now the I guess the hard drive capacity or the production capacity has been increasing, so they're able to meet most of their demands. And Apple is selling 1 million iPods a quarter, which is just a phenomenal. In fact, Business Week apologized last week when the iPod Mini was announced. Business Week's technology columnist was saying that it's going to be a flop. It's going to be terrible. No one's going to want to buy it. For $50 more, you get 10 times the capacity. Well, he apologized this week. He said he was wrong. Obviously, by the sales.
Spectacularly wrong.
Spectacularly wrong.
Oh, you're going to be wrong. That's the way to be wrong.
Yeah.
All I got to say to that, too, is just wait until IBM gears up with their hard drive technology.
Yeah.
Well, didn't IBM sold it all to Hitachi?
They didn't sell all of it. They licensed the rights to it. Because you're going to see IBM is especially in their low end blade market. That's what they're going to do. You're going to get a blade, you know, 24 blade servers in a box twice the size of your laptop.
And Seagate just announced 400 gig and 500 gig single drives.
Yep.
So now you can fill your computer bays with literally terabytes of data.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Finally enough storage space for all my old time radio stuff. Tony, we have a very special occasion today.
Yes, today is Software Freedom Day. What software freedom, you ask?
What is software freedom?
I'm glad you asked that.
Thank you.
Software freedom is the idea to promote free and open source software. Briefly, free and open source software comes with the right to use for any purpose, including commercial use. Anyone has the right and access to examine the programs designed, i.e. the source code, and make changes you may wish to make. All right, go ahead and change this to Word if you want.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I can change the font.
Yeah, that's about it. You can't change the API. There is a... 999% of people don't change the source code.
Right.
But the fact that you can is a great thing. The important part is most of this stuff is created by somebody to scratch a particular itch that they want, and they released it, and it works phenomenally well.
I use OpenOffice.
Mm-hmm.
I get all the functionality I got out of Office, Microsoft Office, and nobody can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. No,
except that every once in a while they'll say, oh, how do I get that font? Or, ooh, what a great graph that is. Where do I get that? And that's it. Well, you can.
And you can make a PDF out of it.
And you just one-click PDF, you're done.
Okay. See, that's something we in the Mac community have been doing for a while, too, that we can make our documents look like Microsoft Word. It's more work for us to limit ourselves to what the Windows people expect.
that's a shame. But the nice part about it is there are a tremendous amount of tools, and it's mostly associated with Linux, but that really isn't the case. There are programs out there for the Windows community to a large extent, and also for the Mac community. If you can look at it, one of the best places I'm aware of for that, and you can register and search on it, is freshmeat.net.
What a great site!
It is. You can narrow it down to Windows, Macintosh, Linux, whatever you want to do. A couple of examples that you can look at. I mean, we preach here for Mozilla for browsing, or you know, the Mozilla engines for Firefox and Thunderbird. OpenOffice, as you've just talked about. OpenOffice is a really interesting paradigm too, and it's a great piece of software.
Great piece of software.
I shipped my kid off to college with OpenOffice.
Yep.
Things like that, and she's had no problems. There are a couple of things that are specifically geared to the Windows users. One of the great ones is the OpenCD, and you can Google for it. It's the OpenCD.org. It is a CD ISO image. You download it, burn it onto a disk, and you get everything. You get OpenOffice, you get Mozilla, you get all sorts of things. You get a free compiler.
Yeah,
you know, how much does a Windows compiler for Visual C cost? I mean, you know, everything you want. There's another one out there called GNU Win2. It's the similar thing, much larger selection of software. It's more games. There's some server applications and programming languages, free applications of programming languages for computers. I generally recommend, you know, I hand out OpenCD.
Sure.
To everybody, to all my Windows friends.
Sure, and the cool thing is it's free. It's completely free.
Yeah, free as in beer and free as in speech.
Right, so you get to do whatever you want with it. You know, there's no guilt of, well, I'm going to give you a copy, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't register it or any of that stuff. No, and you know what? It just works.
Every day.
Yes.
Every day. I use this laptop has Windows on it, but every piece of software I'm using on it was free. Most of it is both free and open source.
Mm-hmm.
Running on top of Windows, and it works just as well as any other machine. And it cost me, you know, the laptop and Windows came with it, and then everything else was free.
Yeah.
You know, talking about, you know, things that work with Windows, just for tickles and grins, this week we downloaded the SP2 pack of Windows, XP onto one of our test benches. And it went in okay, no problems there, yada, yada, yada. I'm not running any Microsoft's products that would corrupt anyways that was on their list. But the one darn annoying thing I found so far, and I know it's trivial, but I turn off their stupid firewall.
Right.
Because I've already got a router hardware firewall.
Right.
And the stupid thing keeps coming back, giving you this little bubble. You know, you got the firewall turned off. Well, no!
Kidding.
Yeah, but you got to admit that most where it's targeted
Leave
at, those,
me alone.
Those are the ones that really need it.
Right.
The ones that weren't afraid of it. I put XP, Service Pack 2. My kid has got a Windows machine for the games. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's
but
okay.
But it's just annoying that you can't turn that thing off so it doesn't bug me anymore. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I know I turned it off. Way.
Yeah, I will admit, though, it's smart enough to recognize that if you have Zone Alarm or one of the other firewall pieces of software on there, it doesn't whine when you turn it off.
Oh, same with us with the antivirus. You know, I've got McAfee, and I've got the newest. Oh, that's the other thing. I installed the newest version of Spam Killer from McAfee.
Yeah.
Is that sweet? It is blocking more emails, because on an average day, you know, I can get 1,800 pieces of junk mail. Just literally junk.
Yeah.
And it just filters out all that junk mail.
I took a few days off. I took my family down to Hershey, PA, just to sit on Chocolate
Avenue
and breathe in.
You didn't bring any samples.
That's all you have to do. No, I didn't. We brought home a lot of samples. None of them got here. In fact, very few of them got to me.
I don't know, Rob. I think we should protest.
I know we should. I understand.
He brought in the cookies.
After all those cookies.
I understand.
That's why we missed the cookies.
It's not that I didn't
thank
you guys. It's that it didn't show up.
When the cookies were on my desk, I had people from around the office help themselves. Now my mom's got to make cookies for everybody else. So I told her what she should do is just open up a business and start selling them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But if anybody emailed me over the week, I'm slowly getting through my mail. I had 15,000 spam messages when I got back, something like that. I turned the machine on and went away and came back later. And it was all filtered because I used Spamnix, but it was good. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the news. A lot of interesting Microsoft stuff. We'll get to your calls. We've got the website of the week. We got all kinds of interesting stuff with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
It's not just Nick Francesco, it's also
Dave Enright,
Steve Ray,
Tony Placilla,
and Rob Limpin.
And we are Soundbites. We're going to get to the phone shortly, but first let's talk a little bit.
Nick is just ignoring it.
I still can hardly hear anything. Oh, Jesus, cracker.
I'm going to start playing a lot of other types of music.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is wrong on every possible level.
I'm sorry, you know.
Okay.
We only have about 10 million songs in our computer here. So
and you never play any of them, so it's time to play.
I'm going
to
start doing it. It's about time.
I thought it was tango music.
The last time I really thought about the Copacabana, Ricky was playing there and Lucy was trying to get into the orchestra.
Oh, Ricky!
So anyway.
Lucy!
Oh, Lucy. Microsoft News. Microsoft is...
There's a segue for you.
Yeah, exactly. Longhorn, as you may have noticed, those of you who are still living in 2002, Longhorn is late.
Though.
It is. I know. Thank heaven you're sitting down. And Microsoft is hoping to meet their latest deadline. This would be number 6 or number 4. I forget which. By simply taking stuff out of Longhorn.
Like the B-tree search engine.
Right. Don't call it Shorthorn, though. That makes Jim Altchin very mad. Jim Altchin is the Windows chief at Microsoft.
Wah.
Wah. The decision to scale back Longhorn was spurred, get this, by developers and computer makers who valued on-time delivery over advanced features. According to Jim Altchin, the decision to strip out the advanced file system dubbed WinFS from Longhorn was made to ensure that the new operating system could be shipped by 2006.
Meanwhile, Apple is going to have their next new operating system out in the middle of 2005.
Quote Mr. Altchin, my goal is to have Longhorn the highest quality operating system we've ever shipped. At one level, you could say I've had enough. So we're on a path to drive up the quality level. He said the PC makers and Intel were eager to see that the next version of Windows would take advantage of hardware improvements and that they could plan for a certain release in 2006. Now, what they've taken out is they started by taking out WinFS. WinFS, the new Windows file system, was going to fulfill the company's longstanding desire to weld a file name with its contents, who authored, and other information about it, like, oh, say, Macintosh's Finder's been doing since 1984. That's at least stalled for now. It's not dead in the water. It's just stalled. So what makes upgrading to Longhorn compelling?
Not a bloody thing.
I don't know. I have no idea. Clueless.
Microsoft needs a revenue stream.
There's not going to be any Windows FS in it. Yeah. Avalon, which is the graphics engine, the brand new hot, sexy graphics engine, and Indigo, which is web services like you need that, will both be available for Windows XP and Windows 2003. So why would you go to Longhorn? I don't know, but I guess we'll know later on as we get closer to
it. Well, if you want to go to Texas.
Yeah, and if you saw the hardware requirements for the Aero engine that they're using for the Radeon 9800 or better.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a game player, a gig of RAM or better.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a game player, you got it.
Everybody else, buy a new computer.
And apparently,
so another revenue stream.
Apparently, we'll be taking another break now. But we'll be back in just a couple of more minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, the soon-to-be ex-Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Have you dripped? The show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well, if you're wondering who we are, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And I'm scared. We're Soundbites. And we're back, and we're going to go to the phones now. And our first cut, what?
Well, before we do that.
Oh, before we do that.
We have a little contest today.
We do have a little contest today.
I have Gmail invites.
Yes.
Should explain that.
Now, we know what Gmail is.
We should explain it to other folks.
Google has put out a beta of its web-based email client. It's called Gmail, gmail.google.com. You get a gig of email storage space. Never changes, and it's something that's going to hang around. It's beta, the only way you get in is to have somebody invite you in. So I have Google Gmail invites. Now, we're going to take the best question that's asked today, and I will send somebody a Gmail invite.
Right.
There are a couple of prerequisites. We will anything that is answered by Adware, Spybot, Stinger, or Antivirus is automatically excluded.
Right.
Okay. The decision of the judges is arbitrary, capricious, and final. So,
in other words, whatever we want to do,
That's exactly right. What we think is the best question. We'll give you a methodology to contact us, and you can get a Gmail invite.
Yep. Only a systems administrator would actually use the word methodology without even a moment's hesitation. or wondering if that was the appropriate term in this particular instance.
Yeah, at least I didn't use synergy.
There is that. Thank you very much for that.
That was synergistic.
Or zizigy. Our first caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Oh, well, I got a couple questions, and I wanted to make one comment ahead of time.
Sure.
I've called in before. I'm working on Linux, trying to get it up and running for my small business.
Okay.
And I had some trouble with my modem, and I've been hacking around with it for a long, long time. I got into my BIOS and noticed that Plug and Play OS was set to yes, and you got to turn that puppy off if you want Linux to find anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a big piece of advice to anybody thinking about it. Don't miss that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's usually true under Windows too.
Yeah.
Really. Well, you got to turn it on for Windows to work. But if you're going to if you're going to add Linux to your system and dual boot, you got to turn it off at least while you do the install.
Right.
So once I got around that, now I got my modem working. And my first question, I can get the modem to dial up and connect to my ISP. When I launch Mozilla or the email, it doesn't seem to know to go to the modem in order to get whatever it is it thinks it needs to get, go to my home page or whatever. How do I make my internet, my browser and my email go to the modem in order to get out on the internet?
It really shouldn't have anything to do with going to the modem. It depends on how the operating system is recognizing the connection.
Because I also have a network card.
See, that's why. It's by default, it's going to go with the network.
Can it change the priority of the cards? On the Mac side, you just drag the order and it looks on the modem first, then Ethernet.
You can. It's where it picks up DNS, and by default, it's trying to pick up DNS through the network. You're using the network for just file sharing?
Yeah.
There's a couple of different methodologies. Hang on the line, and we'll take this.
We got to go to the news. We got to do whatever we got to do, and we'll be back after the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob. I'm right on top of things. Linton and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WJM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites.
When last we left you, you've been listening to Old Time Radio all week. When last we left, our heroes were talking to Dave from Canandaigua.
Yeah,
are you still there?
How'd the iPod work in the car?
I thought I was the hero.
You are the hero. You are the hero because you fixed your modem problem.
No,
and now Tony's the hero because he's going to solve the rest of your modem problem.
But basically what's happening is ETH0 is the default gateway for the system.
Right.
So you can do a couple of things to check it out. I'm going to give you a website to look at. This is one of the better ones out there. It's www.SiliconValleyCCIE.com.
/Linux-HN. Linux-HN
for home networking.
Okay.
Okay. This is actually, unfortunately, about a half an hour fix, and we can't do it on the radio. But
yep.
what is going? Okay. There's a network. I'll have Steve post it on the website.
Add that
the actual
link list.
Yeah. I'll have Steve put the whole thing on the link list.
Sure.
Here. But basically what is happening is your default gateway is ETH0, and Mozilla just doesn't know what to do with it. What you can do is to test this, bring up your PPP link.
Right.
In a root shell, type if down,
right,
space ETH0.
Right.
Then
deactivate
the Ethernet interface.
I tried that during the break using the GUI.
Right, right. Do it in a root shell. The GUI sometimes.
Okay.
Do it. Just bring it down in a root shell, and then fire up Mozilla and see what Mozilla says. Probably what has happened is the kernel routing tables think that ETH0 is the default gateway.
Right.
You will have to actually add a command, a route add default gateway blah, which is your PPP0 interface. This actually, this website, and I'll make sure it gets up there, gives you the directions on how to do that. The kernel routing table, by default, Ethernet interfaces take precedence over PPP interfaces.
Yeah, I had this working in Fedora 1, but now I just loaded Fedora 2, and it doesn't want to work. And I don't know how I made it work the first time.
Yeah, and then, unfortunately, I don't use dial-up, so you know, I'm shooting from the hip on this one.
I'm forced to, but...
Yeah.
Well, you can get a dial-up router. I think Apple's one of the only companies still making a dial-up router, and it also has wireless capability, too.
Yeah. Or you can actually put a like a P133 box and load Smoothwall as a firewall, and it will use dial-up as its external interface. That's actually a better way to do that. Then you don't have to worry. It's dial-on-demand for that, too.
As I said, I had two questions. The second one is sort of a general one. The other thing, you know, I do have that Ethernet network hooked to a Windows machine. And I got it working. Then when I shut the Windows machine down, it sort of lost everything. You know, the whole thing fell apart. So what it looks like, I mean, I'm still learning this, is it probably worth my effort to learn to build a full-blown network rather than trying. I mean, Samba's running, but when the Windows machine disappears, Samba got confused. And,
it's a browsemaster issue.
Right. It's supposed to.
I should actually set up like a DNS server and everything.
You don't necessarily have to do it. One thing you can do if you're doing it for a Windows network is actually add an entry into FS tab to either mount on boot, mount the Windows network on boot, or mount it on demand, you know, and no auto. And that way, if it's not up, if the Windows machine is not up, then you don't have to worry about it. And if it's up, you can just use user mounting. Windows share.
One of the problems with Windows peer networking, when you just have three or four Windows machines in your house, the first machine that turns on creates the network for you.
Right.
So if that machine turns off, the other computers go, ah!
How do they go?
Ah!
Well, if they're Windows, they'll pick up, but I don't think that my Linux box knows how to pick up from that.
You can restart Samba, and that will do it.
Yeah, well, my Windows got confused, too. Then it wouldn't even, when I clicked on Network Neighborhood, it said I didn't even have permission to browse that.
Yeah, that's why larger companies will have a dedicated server that sits in the closet creating the network.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Because I'm a small business, I really need the robustness. I can't play around with this stuff.
No, you can't. You got to have it running all the time. And the good news is, if you get a system running for your business, one of the things you can do is stick, say, a couple of mirror drives in there, a couple of 120 gig drives, mirror them, and use that as your file server. Anything you save to it will be mirrored automatically to the other drive. If one of the drives dies, the other one's still working. It's cheap, fast, easy backup for all the important documents on your network.
I've got several customers that keep asking me about doing mirror drives as their backup. Every night they want to pull one drive out of the mirror and put it in their safe. And then when they put it back in the morning, they don't realize it has to rebuild the mirror.
It has to rebuild the mirror,
It may take all day to rebuild the mirror, and you don't have a backup anymore.
Right.
One of the other things, too, is if you've got a Linux box running Samba, it will take over as the browsemaster. It's just networking is much more efficient. So if there is a Linux box on the network, it will try to become the browsemaster.
Yeah, boot that one first, and then it doesn't matter if the Windows machine goes up and down.
Someday I'll be able to get away from Windows, but for now I got to run CAD CAM. So.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the help, and I wanted to give Dave some advice about getting old. I appreciate his problems, but consider the alternative.
Exactly.
I'm thankful.
Yep. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
You know, I'm listening to your explanation, and I'm thinking, well, for a lot of the people out there, that's going to be complete gobbledygook. And then I realized something. For a lot of the people out there, anything they heard on this show in the beginning was gobbledygook, but as time went on, they learned more and more, they understood more and more, and now much less of it is opaque to them. And so just keep listening, just keep learning what you're doing.
We try to make it user-friendly.
Yeah.
That's what we're about.
Our next caller, Jason, from Pavilion, New York, or possibly he's just sitting in a pavilion at Genesee Park. I don't know which it is. Where are you, Jason?
Well, now I'm in Perry.
Ah, just traveling around, are you?
Yeah, I was.
What's up?
I got a problem with my compact printer.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the S520 or 520S, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The bubble jet printer.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had it for a couple of years now, and it stopped printing black the other day. And we went through cleaning through it and the deep cleaning, and it didn't fix it. And I tried printing pictures, and it would print all the colors except for black.
Right.
And I tried cleaning again, and I took it out and checked it and looked at it, and didn't see anything visually wrong with it, and put it back in. it won't print anything at all now. No colors.
You know how it has those little tubes where the ink travels through?
Yep.
You might want to, if you can get that tube loose for the black. That was one of the major problems with the bubble jets, that those tubes could get clogged up, and especially the black, because it's used so much. You don't even realize that you know, even when you're printing a color picture, it's laying down black ink.
Right.
Just for highlights and everything else,
right.
You know, to give you those tones. So what you're going to have to do is check that tube, and you might want to use, if you can get one end of it off, take like a paper clip.
Uh-huh.
And just put, you know, undo it and put a little loop at one end, sort of like a little nobular thing, so you can put it in there and just see if you can loosen up any of the stuff in the tube.
But be really careful you don't burst the tube, because then you'll ruin the printer.
Right.
One of the things that can also happen is your print head wears out after a while. And on the HP printers, the head is built into the cartridge. So every time you replace the ink cartridge, you get a new head. On most of the Canon printers, the cartridge is a separate little thing that you can buy separately from the ink tank. And then on HP printers, on Epson printers, you can't replace the head, so when that goes, you lose the printer.
I had an interesting call last week. I had to go down and work with a client. We worked at his machine, went down, fixed it up. And he goes, "But my color printer's still not working right." All right, I'll come down and see it. You know?
You can buy a new color printer for $39. Don't bother fixing the old one.
No, this one was only, you know, like a month and a half old.
Well, then it's under warranty. You call the company.
Well, no, it wasn't that far away. I went down, took the computer back down to him, and looked at the printer. And, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. It's an HP. So I grabbed the cartridges. I pulled the cartridges up. I flipped them over. And I happened to notice one thing.
Didn't peel the little plastic thing off.
Bingo! Once you remove those green little tabs and the ink,
they work so much better.
It was amazing.
I've seen some of the printer companies are now not putting those little tabs on the printer anymore.
Well,
they seal the entire bag.
Well, inkjets used to do that too.
Yeah.
The ribbons. They used to have a little stop thing that you had to pull the plug out.
Right.
A little tab. And if you didn't pull the tab, it just kept printing and wearing down that one area in the impact printer. So, messed it up.
Cool. All right.
Instead of trying to clean those tubes, you think it'd be better just to go buy a new print head?
Well, you can always try to clean the tubes. If it doesn't work, then no, you're probably going to wind up buying a new printer.
Yeah, if you damage the tube, then you really are going to have a new printer.
But to try to buy the print head, you better be sitting down when they tell you what a new printhead costs.
It's almost as cheap to just buy a new printer.
It's not too bad with the Canons, because the printheads...
I thought they were around $40 for the printhead.
Yeah. Right. But as we said earlier, you can buy a whole new printer for $40.
Yeah.
So it's actually really annoying. You buy the printer for $40-$50, and then to replace the ink is $40-$50.
Well, because they're looking for the commodity.
Yeah, buy a new printer and get new ink with it.
Right.
Well, what would you suggest for just home use printer? I mean, we do print some pictures from time to time, but just, you know.
In general, I'd have to recommend, if you're going to stick with an inkjet printer, get one where at least the black cartridge is separate from the color cartridges.
Hey, that's why we got this compact one.
Yeah, preferably, I personally have a Canon
BJ620,
which all of the things are different.
Absolutely.
So when my daughter was going through her blue period, we we didn't have to throw away a lot of unused color.
Yeah. I really like the Epson printers because of the paper path. The paper goes in the back and comes out the front. So with HP printers, it goes in the front, turns all the way around, comes back out the front. Mm-hmm. So it has trouble with thicker stock like photo paper or envelopes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then they're physically smaller. HP printers are physically very small and don't take up much desk space.
Right. One thing you also might consider is, in the future, how much plain text printing are you going to be doing? I mean, for example, I've got kids who are in high school and college, and they're all into printing papers and things like that. So I have an inkjet for the occasional color printer, but most of what we do is off of one of the newer, inexpensive laser printers.
You can get a black and white laser printer for under $200.
I just put a Brother for $129.
Yeah.
You can now get a color laser printer for under $500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you will get 10 times the pages for the price of
Laser,
out of the black and white.
Out of black and white.
Yeah. Well, if, out of laser. major period. Laser cost is 2 or 3 cents a page. Inkjet cost is 30-40 cents a page minimum. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing photo printing on photo paper, you're looking at $1 or $2 a page.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
So. Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jason. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
Hi. I'm working on my friend's computer.
Yeah, it's always a friend's computer.
Mine works perfectly.
Yeah.
So you had to break your friend's?
But she's got, I'm having trouble with Stinger. Stinger, when I run Stinger, it starts, as soon as it starts to scan and it comes to, it says the file explorer.exe, the whole computer freezes up.
What OS are you running?
A Windows 98 second edition.
All right, have you tried starting it up in safe mode? And running it from there?
No, but see, I haven't because I used to run Stinger all the time on that computer.
Yeah, but you can have some other... see, there is a number of viruses and other programs out there that try to disable programs like Stinger and these other utilities like SpyBot and Adware to, you know, just make your life a living hell. So what we suggest for folks with Windows 98 and even XP, I found Adware and SpyBot sometimes hang up. That I say, you know, just load it in safe mode. This way it's the bare minimum. Nothing else gets loaded as a TSR or anything else hiding. There could be spyware or whatever. By doing it in safe mode, it'll run a lot smoother and cleaner for you.
Yeah, Adware and SpyBot run okay.
Yeah.
So it's likely that your friend's machine has one of these real nasty viruses that disables antivirus and will prevent Stinger from working.
Okay, so is there... It will not load it. If I run it in safe mode, how do I do that? How do I get that particular application to load?
It should be on your desktop.
Oh, you mean just go into the file and double click on it like I'm going to run it?
You got it.
Right.
Okay.
And you want to make sure you download the current version of Stinger every time you run it, which is now August 16th. But it's been 12 days since they've had to update it.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been quiet 12 days.
Yeah.
I've downloaded different... It happened right after I downloaded a newer version of Stinger, and since then, about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, since then I haven't been... Stinger just won't run on it.
Yeah, it's probably...
Give that a try. Let us know.
Probably catching a bad one and can't delete it because the virus isn't letting it.
Right. Ah, okay.
Well, we're talking about Stinger and
Adware. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
I want to let our listeners know that I'm setting it up within... probably happened in early October.
This is the big announcement we talked about at the start of the show.
One of them, because we're going to have more later on next month.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep. Big announcement.
That's a teaser.
But for you folks, you hear us constantly talking about us, you know, promoting Adware. Well, I was talking to the VP of Adware, and I'm going to have him come on the show later on in October because of his time schedule and everything else.
They're in Sweden, aren't they?
No, he is actually here in the U.S.
Slavisov, USA.
Yeah. So he's here in the U.S., and he said he'd be more than delightful to come on. And then we have another special guest coming up on September, I think it's the 11th. Doug Similar is going to come on the show and talk about the Computer Museum. So you're going to want to miss that one. That's going to be a good one.
Don't fail to miss it.
Remind you folks later on down the road. One of the other things I want to mention is, of course, our website of the week, which, you know, once we come back, we still good or we got to go to break? Oh, okay.
He's just grimacing over there. It's facial exercises. I don't know what he's doing.
All right. This week's website of the week, and this is a fantastic one for kids. I mean, I'm always looking... And I'll get to some other sites down the road for adults and all that type of stuff and other cool things. But right now...
Yeah, my son's out on the other computer playing Cartoon Network all day.
Because I have grandchildren and all that, I'm always looking for safe sites and that they can go to and they'll go. So this one, Steve is already putting a link up there, but it's tv.yahoogans.yahoo.com. And we'll have a link up there. And this is a great site for kids. They've got games up there, animals, science projects, and jokes, and a lot more. It's a good, safe place. Kids won't, you know, you can tell your kids to go there. They're not going to get a lot of these pop-ups and other things that are so annoying that, you know, you've got to worry about it nowadays. I mean, you know, I don't dare leave my grandchildren alone because if they go to one site or another, bam, they could have all this other porn coming up and everything else.
Yep.
For you folks, in that tome, There's another. If you go to PC World, there's called WinGuard Pro 2004 for you folks that want to get your computers under control as far as passwords and encrypting files. Check that program out. Again, it's called WinGuard Pro 2004.
Perfect. Our next caller, I may mispronounce this. Briaka?
It's Brika.
Brika from Rochester. Sorry, Brika.
That's okay.
That's a pretty name.
Thank you.
A pretty name. What's it mean?
It's Irish. It's actually a family name.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. I have a virus on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming up as, it says it's Bloodhound W32.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's affecting my Systems 32 folder in my Windows file. And when I do a scan, like it's scanning it and while it's booting, and it says, it gives you other options. You can delete it, repair it, ignore it. When I try to repair it, it says error 42060.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just afraid. When I say delete it, it says files is in the Windows folder. Are you sure? Of course, I said no. So I guess I don't know what to do with it.
What OS are you running first? What operating system? Windows 98?
It's Windows XP.
Windows XP?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you using for antivirus?
Right now it's doing it through Avast.
Avert, maybe?
It's Avast.
Avast. Familiar with that one.
What I would suggest, and we tell this folks, a lot of folks who do this, is if you go to our webpage, soundbites.org,
mm-hmm.
go on the right-hand side, you'll see Security Tango.
Okay.
And what I would suggest you do, because a lot of those other programs don't always stay up to date as fast and as quick as, say, a McAfee or a Norton. That's why we like those products better. Especially McAfee. But click on the dance at Security Tango, and it'll take you to another website that Nick did a great job of designing. And there's a button there that says, Let's Dance. And you want to follow that step by step. Because evidently you have one of those viruses on there. And also spyware. And spyware that's, spam and everything else. It's literally taking over your machine. And it's like no longer your machine. It's become part of the networks on the internet, and it's doing its thing behind the scenes, even though you're trying to do stuff that you want to do.
And those types of viruses are very hard to remove. And it sort of goes on with what we told the previous caller. If you download a program called Stinger, it can remove those really nasty viruses, and you often have to run it in safe mode so the virus doesn't have a chance to load.
If you're looking for another free program as far as good antivirus software,
mm-hmm.
we have one listed there. It's called AVG, and it's a little bit better than the other one that you're talking about.
It looks like Avast is a Czech company. They do a lot in Eastern Europe as well.
Okay.
But I would definitely recommend going to AVG and downloading their product and getting rid of that other one once you dance the tango.
Okay, I was going to get Norton. Are you saying, I was going to go buy it.
Norton is fine.
Yep,
that's a good one.
Better?
I got McAfee sale right now for $45.
Yeah.
It's a whole suite of programs. It comes with Quicken, Encyclopedia, and everything else.
We got to take a break, Brika. Thanks for calling. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Man, you are just out of control.
I love it.
I'm sorry, am I bringing back some memories from your when you were in the 20s?
Yeah.
Back when I was listening to Mozart, this was playing on the radio. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Jay Benray.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is something a lot like Soundbites.
Nick, please get off the counter. No. Stop doing that dance.
But I'm good at it.
Yeah. Good jam.
Too bad the camera's not up this week, huh? You'd be seeing me dancing. One, two,
well,
three.
With the dingoes
in
a tutu?
I climb up on the chair, and I'm the only usually
yes,
healthy one.
Exactly right. All right, we're back, and before we get back to the phones, very quickly, I want to talk about our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about how you connect to the Internet. The choices were multiple, varied. We have 51% of you, 51% of you connect by cable modem, 28% by DSL, 16% by phone modem, 2% of you at work, 2% of you other, 6 people connect by satellite. One person connects at the library. That's out of 536 votes, making this number 4 on the all-time hit list.
And satellite internet, it's actually getting almost cheap these days. It's down to $100 a month.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you live way out or you travel frequently, it's not bad.
In remote areas, it's a cheap way to go. Yeah.
So 84% of you have some form of broadband connection. That's higher than the national average, which is 51%. Once you're done, this week's poll. I suppose we should talk about this week's poll. The question is, do you have a DVD player in your computer? So far, 112 of you are voting. 36% of you say no. 27% of you say yes, but I don't use it very often. Followed by 26% who say I have a DVD burner, you insensitive clod, and followed by 12% who say yes, and I use it a lot. And I did that specifically for Tony, who needs an insensitive clod choice, whether he has a DVD burner or not. As long as it says insensitive clod, he can pick that one. Once you have made your choice in the poll, below it you'll see a little yellow box. If you click in there, you will go to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
He got you.
See how they get? Thank you. And once you're at my website, asknick.com. Thank you.
You can what?
You can leave an opinion about the poll. And check out the other stuff that's on my website. That's okay, too. But definitely check that out for the opinion poll. And check out all the other cool stuff at soundbites.org. We're going to go back to the phones, and we talked a little bit about Doug Simar a few minutes ago, who's going to be opening up a computer museum, he hopes, shortly. But he's got a question and answer.
To a question.
First we're going to take a break. I thought you were just doing the dance. I had no idea that was actually meant for me. Doug, hold on. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Flacilla, Rob, I'm Just Everywhere, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Okay. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton. You know, Nick, you're probably wondering, how does this music fit into a computer show?
How does this music fit into a computer show?
I don't know, but
okay.
You know what?
It's on the computer.
That's right.
Exactly.
What's rest?
See, does your system count up how many days of music will play?
See, I have my new iPod, and I'm in love.
I know, yeah. Apple's iTunes will display the total time of music you've got in your library. And that's sort of the bragging rights around the net. So I've got 115 days of continuous music without a repeat.
Mine lies.
There's only 936 minutes left of stereo recording in this computer system.
Is that all?
That's it.
Mine lies because because I'm listening to old-time radio, the numbers are a little off.
Wow. So you can also get more detail. By default, it says like 15.2 days.
Yeah.
If you click that at the button, iTunes tip for anyone running iTunes, if you click that timer at the bottom, it will break it out to days, hours, minutes, seconds.
Cool.
So you can see a more accurate number.
Ooh, more accurate numbers. Shiny.
I just discovered something very, very disturbing. The American Library...
Just now?
Just now, the American Library Association's list of most frequently banned books in 2003.
Ooh!
Mm-hmm.
Catcher in the Rye off the list, finally?
Catcher in the Rye is number 13.
It's still on the list.
So what's number one?
Now this really bothers me. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L'Engle.
What a great book. How could they ban it?
That was required reading for my kids in
school.
How
could they ban it? It won the Newbery Award.
You think? The Harry Potter series, number 7. Of mice and men.
Oh, get
what a good.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
There's
Warner Brothers cartoon.
Some schools that have been banning Mark Twain because
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is
right,
number 5.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Tom Sawyer's insensitive, culturally insensitive. Yeah.
Culturally insensitive.
You know what? Ether killers.
Yeah, that's right.
Ether. It's a very good thing She Who Must Be Obeyed is not here right now.
Exactly, because she'd be figuring out how to electrify the keyboards of the people at the. All right, okay. We're back.
My editorial comment is done for the day. Thank you.
We're back. While Tony lowers his blood pressure, we're back to the phones, and we are indeed going to talk to Doug Steinmeier in Arcade, New York. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Pretty good, Nick. How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I will be on in a few weeks talking about the Computer Museum of Western New York, but I wanted to make a comment to Dave, and you guys might even want to make an adjustment to the security tango. I run a shop just like Dave does, and I've been working with Dave recently, and I've had a couple PCs in that have been really, really nasty. And the one thing that I've noticed I've had to do is actually go down to the DOS level, and I've had to create AVG boot disks, dump those onto the hard drive, and boot in the AVG DOS to actually get rid of some of these guys before I can even run Stinger.
Yeah, sometimes even safe mode doesn't work.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that may be another thing to those folks out there on radio land, that, you know, if you can get a hold of AVG or some sort of a DOS-based antivirus, you might want to run
AVG?
That first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Grisoft stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I've literally, both my test benches, if they don't have current antivirus software on there, we don't even turn the machine on. I just pull the hard drive, hook it up to my test bench, because there I've got the most current version always.
Right.
Uh-huh. And just scan them right there.
Right.
Yeah,
so, Doug, email me the directions for that. I'll add them to the Tango.
Yeah, well, you know,
eventually it's
going to
become like a whole football team of people fancy.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, hey, you guys are the computer user group of the year, and, you know, all of us, you know, there's a lot of professionals that listen to this show.
Yep.
And, you know, all of us together, we all have to help everybody else out, and that's what I firmly believe.
Thank you, Doug. That's great. And it's true that a lot of people who listen to this show are also working as tech support or tech crew in some sense in a business.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is that a lot of the techniques that we give for individuals
are
work in business, but they need that next level sometime. I would be happy to add that, Doug. Please send me the steps and I'll add them to the Tango.
We also hear from a lot of people who have left business, without actually wanting to.
Right, yeah.
And now suddenly they have to take care of their own computer. When you work in a big business, you call the tech desk, that guy comes down, fixes your computer.
Right.
And now suddenly you have to do it yourself and no one knows how.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the real shame is what I've noticed is, you know, I used to watch tech TV because a lot of geeks do watch the tech TV.
Sure.
And now it's just kind of deteriorated into this
gaming
show.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous now that unless you actually have a show like you guys where you're helping people out with their problems, you know, very few of these outlets are available anymore.
Yeah,
and that's why you guys are such a great asset.
Well, thanks, Doug. We appreciate that. And we'll see you in a couple of – we'll hear you in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Thanks.
See you later, Doug.
Thanks. Our next caller, Joe from Buffalo. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Howdy.
How you doing?
First, I have to say to Rob, when they do the security tango, you got to have David Bowie's Let's Dance ready first. And when they say click on Let's Dance, away you go.
There you go. David Bowie's Let's Dance.
But anyway, I had called a couple weeks ago. I had asked about installing Fedora Core 2, and you said, as an interim measure, no, please don't, and call back when Tony is on the show and
here
he is. Have him explain.
However, oh, man!
You got to jump ahead to the chorus.
Joe, hold on the line. Apparently we're going to take a break. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with your question and all of us on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're talking to Joe from Buffalo, who's installing Fedora Core TWO.
Okay, you were advised not to do it.
Until by the guys there.
That's a good idea.
See,
are you setting up first?
Doing that.
Tony will know why not
to
do it.
Yeah. First question is, are you trying to set it up in dual boot?
No, sir.
Okay. If you're not trying to set it up in dual boot, you're okay. That's the real big gotcha.
Oh, the drive geometry.
The drive geometry thing, exactly right. I've played with both, with Core 1 and Core 2. There are some stability issues with Core 2 right now. It looks like they're transitioning C libraries, and it's almost as evil as Red Hat 8 was.
Let's step back a second. Fedora Core 2.
Right.
Fedora is a Linux distribution from Red Hat.
And the community.
And the community. It started out from Red Hat. It's now a free distribution from the Fedora community.
Right.
And Core 1 was the first setup of that. Then they moved on, and they're putting out Core 2, which has newer stuff, but not yet stable stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old Debian tree, stable, unstable, and test.
I'm running unstable.
Yeah.
Completely.
It depends if you want to use your machine for work or play with it.
Right.
Actually, the real big issues with Core 2 is memory management. There's memory leaks all over the place. So I would personally recommend that you use Core 1, and if you're looking to get some of the newer applications, get one of the other mirrors like Fresh RPMs or Fedora.us for other things like the newer version of Firefox or a 2.6 kernel has been ported up in there.
That's the main thing is the 2.6 kernel for the SE Linux stuff and
the Security Enhanced Linux. Right. Go to people.redhat.com/Arjan, ARJAN, and he's got a yum repository for 2.6. I think he's up to 2.67 right now, so you can run a 2.6 kernel on Core 1 if you want to have that. If you want the SE Linux pieces, that's the way to go. I would not deploy Core 2 myself. Core 3, and I don't even think about it. It's a real beta right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the reason. The drive geometry was one of the big ones, and that's a big gotcha for dual booters. But empirically, having tested it myself, it's memory allocation.
Not ready for prime time.
It basically reeks right now.
What was that like again, Tony?
Pretty clearly, it's Fedora Core 1 for anybody who wants to use the the Red Hat based community version of Linux.
And if you really want stable, take a look at. There's two other ones. There's Whitebox Linux and Tau, TAO Linux. And what those are based on is that's based on Red Hat Enterprise 3, and they've taken the Red Hat copyrighted stuff out there and just rebuilt the distro from SRPMs.
Nice.
So,
So
Tau Linux is actually really good. That's all about stable. You know, forget about a 2.6 kernel on that. It's 2.4.22, I think, some version. But that really rocks.
So if you want to play,
right,
then you go somewhere else. But if you want a box that boots up and works rock solid every day, Tau.
Core 1.
No, yeah. I think I'm going to go with FC1 there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll run FC1 in production, you know, like on a web server or a file server. If it's got to work, if it's got to be an Oracle or something like that that's enterprise, it's going to be Red Hat Enterprise or SUSE Enterprise. And that's, you know, this is my butt on the line.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Indeed. The other thing about that guy with the dial-up, somehow he's got to eliminate the default route to his Ethernet card.
Right, which is the link I pointed to him on. It actually tells him how to remove the route room. Route add default gateway for people.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. I like the fact that we're getting more and more Linux people calling. It used to be when we first started 15 years ago, it was all DOS people, and then Mac people started calling in. And then we used to say a lot of, I don't know, Steve will be here next week. And now we're starting to get the Linux stuff. It's growing. The community is growing. People are getting a little more interested in the alternatives that are out there. Before we go, I have to say the Ad Council, there's an ad watchdog agency, called the Advertising Standards Authority, and they've slapped Microsoft's wrist for the latest set of Get the Facts ad campaigns, claiming that Linux is not cheaper than Windows because the box that they put Linux on is like $30,000 more than the box they put Windows on, and they add that part into the cost of the system. So they've been...
And Linux will run on a $200 computer.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Or stuff that you would throw away because it can't run Windows. It'll run Linux. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back here next week. I want to thank Rob Linton for whatever it was he did this week. I have no idea. But
who gets the Gmail invite?
You decide.
Dave from Canandaigua. Email tony@soundbites.org.
And we'll get you a Gmail invite so you two can have Gmail. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, this is Soundbites. Oh, next week we're on from 12 to 1 on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.